It can be a little eerie to walk around a town like Sunken Harbor at this time of night. Well, here on Long Island, everything just shuts down after a certain hour. All the stores are shuttered. The streets are just empty. Yet somehow, I don't feel that I am quite alone. The following was taped live in New York City on April 28th, 2019.
And you said that your main source for this story of the strawberries is Annie over there?
I'm sure she can hear you, Mr. Shelton.
Calm yourself. She's at the other end of the bar.
I'm sorry, Mr. Shelton. I'm just a bit nervous, I suppose.
I understand. So am I. Well, did you uncover anything else other than what Annie told you?
That's it.
I believe her. Few other people do, but I never make that mistake.
That's reassuring, actually, that no one takes her seriously.
Why do you say that?
Oh, never mind. The more important point, what are we going to do about these cursed strawberries? Oh, I can't believe I just uttered such a sentence.
Well, it's serious stuff, Rabbi. Who knows how many strawberries have been distributed around town already? Is that a menu over there? Let me see it, please.
Here you are.
Thank you. Ah, look, one of today's specials. Strawberries and cream.
They could be strawberries from anywhere.
We just had the worst strawberry season in decades. Most of the local strawberries at the Strawberry Festival this year had to be imported from other places. We can only imagine how many of these things have been consumed and will be consumed. But, Rabbi, there is a silver lining.
Yes?
When I was last at the Wenzel property, I did notice a large greenhouse that I haven't seen before. Inside, I saw strawberry vines.
You did?
Another incentive for me to blow the whole goddamned place up.
Mr. Shelton, I wish you would not take the Lord's name in vain like that in my presence.
I'm sorry, Rabbi Rachel.
You are?
I am.
Sincerely?
Most sincerely. That was most rude and uncalled for.
Apology accepted. Mr. Shelton, you can't blow up that compound!
No, please, keep your voice down. Others may hear.
You can't blow it up. That's completely insane.
Not as insane as clay men coming to life and using enchanted strawberries to place the populace at large under mind control.
Hey, you keep your voice down, too.
I can't believe I just uttered such a sentence. Let's go. It appears this place can no longer allow us the privacy we need.
I'm not going anywhere with you until you tell me where we're headed.
I want us to visit the Wenzel property, Simon's compound.
You do? But that could be very dangerous.
Well, I'm going with or without you, Rabbi.
Okay, I'm going with you, but on one condition. I'm driving.
Splendid. Let's go then.
Yes, this fella is coming along well. What's your name again, fella? Ah, it says Jonathan here on the photograph. Jonathan. Quite a face you have, Jonathan. Very bold, very strong, imposing, dramatic. I'm having a bit of fun, I guess, but sure would love a break, though. My hands hurt. It's not like painting. Painting is much easier. Yes, I think I like painting just fine. But sculpting isn't too bad. I just wish my hands didn't hurt so much pressing into this clay all day like this. Oh, well, it's okay. I sculpt things, don't I? I sculpt things. I like to sculpt. Simon? Simon? That you?
No. It's not Simon, Mr. Hobney.
Okay, then. Who are you?
We haven't met before, but I believe you knew my father.
Your father?
Bill Nocelli.
Bill Nocelli. Bill Nocelli. Where have I heard that name before?
You gotta be kidding me.
Oh, yes, yes. Simon mentioned him to me. Of course, Bill Nocelli.
What in the hell is the matter with you?
Yes, Simon mentioned him to me a little while ago.
Mentioned him to you? You killed him! You killed Bill Nocelli, you sorry son of a bitch!
Nope, I didn't. Simon said so. He said that people think I killed him, but I didn't.
Then who did?
I guess I don't know. He gave me 3 guesses, but I couldn't figure it out.
You're insane. And what is this hunk of crap you're playing with? What is all this?
Oh, it's just a bunch of special clay. Apparently, someone who's been dead for a long time is going to live inside of it. This guy named Jonathan. Well, that's what Simon says anyway.
You're nuts, man. You're gone. You know that?
Oh, I'm going to make a whole bunch of these clay figures. Life-size, like this one. Completely realistic, too. I've got to work all through the day and the night, and boy, do my hands hurt. You know what? I just remembered something. Who's that guy you keep asking me about?
Bill Nocelli? The man you murdered? Whose head was found in your freezer?
Oh, it wasn't me who did that. Oh, and the head wasn't in the freezer, it was in the fridge. And it was someone else who put that head there, not me. But hey, check this out. Look.
Then who did it?
I have no idea. Now look here. Simon said he's a big believer in recycling. Now check this out. We're using the actual hair from Bill Nocelli's own head, right here on this statue. Isn't that a clever idea? It really makes the thing look so much more lifelike, so much more realistic.
You sick piece of garbage.
Derek, what's going on here? Did I just hear...
You must be the famous Simon, huh?
Hey, who the hell are you?
Goodbye, Simon. Sicko bastard.
I don't mind being shot in the face, son. But I really don't like
what?
Being spit on.
What?
Aman Allah Bana.
What's happening?
Arise, Jonathan.
Get away from me. No.
Mr. Sheldon, I want you to hear me out. You need to reconsider your plan.
My plan to blow up the compound? The clay? The strawberries? I'm sorry, Rabbi. There's no changing my mind about it. I can't be swayed. It's too late.
Too late? What do you mean, too late? I thought we were a team. I thought you wanted my help.
You turned me away.
I told you I was going to come back. I just needed to bide some time.
Well, there was no time to bide. I've made my plan, and that's it.
Why are we even going to this place?
Fine. Just let me off here, and I will walk.
I can't do that.
Why?
It's too dangerous.
Just drop me here, please. I've had enough.
No.
Then stop trying to change my mind. Stop trying to change me. Because you won't.
I'm not trying to change you.
Yes, you are.
I am not.
Oh, my God. Do you realize what we sound like?
I'm going with you to the compound. End of discussion.
All right, Sonny. You've gone and done it. In just a single quick and unreasoned flash, you've managed to spoil many, many long months of hard work and methodical planning.
Please, let me go. I'm in a lot of pain.
Well, serves you right, Sonny. Looks like my friend Jonathan managed to break your legs along with a couple of ribs. I can't fully tell. No matter. I say it's time for a little game, because a little game right now is the only thing that's going to make me feel any better about the current situation. A situation caused by you, and only you.
Please. I'm begging you.
It's been hard enough for me to get out in public looking the way I do. And now I have to figure out how to make repairs to my damaged face all on my own. It looks like real flesh, but it's really just clay, you see. And the one man who could make the repairs, well, you just filled him full of lead. And I feel even worse about Jonathan. Poor Jonathan. His sculpture was only about halfway done when I brought him to life. And you slaughtered the innocent man who was in the middle of sculpting and molding Jonathan so that I could have another friend, someone I could relate to. Oh, but you wouldn't understand. People like you never do. Hotheads, cranks, real sourpusses. I have zero tolerance for intolerance. Yes, sir, you chose to destroy what you cannot understand. And for what?
My father. My father was Bill Nocelli.
That's what I figured. Tough break. But you should realize that your dad died for the greater good. Things are going to be a lot better around here now because of his sacrifice. But you? I don't think you're going to be around to enjoy it. I have to get going now.
Wait. What? What's going to happen to me?
It's real simple. I'm going. But I will leave this door wide open. All you have to do is manage to crawl over to this door from the other side of the room. And you're home free.
But my legs.
That will make it a bit more challenging, won't it? But I think this game could be just a little more challenging still. Oh, there you did it.
What? What did I do?
You blinked. You see, Sonny, every time that you blink your eyes, those walls... Ah, I think you're getting it. If you can crawl to the door in time, you won't be crushed to death. Remember, I know it's hard, but try not to... Ooh, oh, it's getting a little tight in here. I'll come back later to see how you did. Ta-ta.
Maya. Maya Belfair.
Yeah?
We gotta go.
We do.
You're passing out, Miss Maya.
I'm not drunk.
I know. You've been nursing that same cutty sock for the last 2 hours.
I'm just tired.
So it's time to go home.
I can't. I'm not ready.
What do you mean you're not ready?
Well, come on. Let's stay a little longer. I'll buy you a drink. It's on me.
Romeo's closing early. We're getting the heave-ho. It's dead in here. Just the three of us now. Come on.
I guess I have to go home.
Yeah.
Go home and just face it. Once and for all.
Sure.
Who knows? Maybe it's really all in my head.
Your guess is as good as mine. But we both got scared. Come on, hun.
Here, pull up here, please, Rabbi.
So why are we here exactly?
I have to be sure for myself. See it with my own eyes.
See what? Are we getting out?
No. Keep that engine running, if you don't mind.
Mr. Sheldon, would you please tell me what's going on here?
10:29. And now... Now...
Wait. What?
Now! Impact!
What just happened?
Oh, come on now, damn it!
Are you kidding me?
Damn you! Work! Work!
Are you trying to tell me that you already rigged this place with...
Rotten hell bastard!
What in the hell have you just done?
We just got perhaps the worst threat ever known to humanity. Oh, that's all. The clay, the strawberries, it's all a burning wreckage now.
Oh, my Lord. We are in serious trouble.
No, No, we're not.
They'll find you out.
But you're the only one who knows. Not even Sissy.
They're going to make you pay. Simon will find out. You know he will.
Oh, let him. I'm ready to tangle with him. This time the ground is more level. Look, Rabbi. No innocent people were hurt. I sorted that. Just a few buildings and some heaps of very, very nasty clay.
But there's still some strawberries out there, and who knows what else Simon has done with that clay.
As I already said, the field is now level. If you don't mind, would you drop me at my home?
Come on, girl. Straighten up. Mother is here, and everything that happened before... Mother? Mother, I'm back! Mother? Oh, Mother, you're still up, playing your records. Mother? Mother, are you okay? Mother? Mother, where are you? Oh, I'm turning this thing off. Mother? Where are you? Mother? Mother, please, say something. Wait, what's this? A note? I'll be home soon. Mother. What?
Good night, Rabbi Berman.
Good night.
I suppose this will be the last time we ever see or speak to one another.
Before I go, there's still one thing I need to discuss with you. Something I've been biting my tongue about since I came here this afternoon.
What could that be?
This?
What is that?
Oh, you don't recognize it? It was mailed to my office. Should I read it aloud?
If you feel that you must.
Dearest Rachel, I needed to write this letter to you despite my better judgment, which I have so precious little of. Oh, no kidding. The most tender of words and thoughts can't help escaping with each looping of my pen. What is that inexplicable thing that happens when a switch is turned, when a light goes off inside, and every lonely moment I ever suffered, falls away with each second I am beside you. Damn you! How dare you send me a letter like this?
Rabbi Rachel,
How dare you? How dare you? Come here! Oh, no. I should not have done that.
I'm glad that you did. We must try that again. There's just one problem, though, dearest Rachel.
What's that?
Well, as much as I'd like to take credit for it, I didn't write that letter.
Wait. That can be. I mean, look, is that your handwriting, your signature?
So it appears. But you must believe me, I did not write this letter. I have no recollection of doing such a thing at all.
If you didn't, then who did?
I don't know. Just kiss me again.
Uncle Jay!
What is this? Rabbi Berman? Uncle Jay? Uncle Jay?
Sissy, I...
Sheldon and the rabbi sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage. What is that you're reciting? Oh, just an old schoolyard chant. Who wrote the love letter then? The one that was sent to the rabbi? I'll give you 3 guesses. Why do you always make me play guessing games when all I can do is ask questions? And all I can do is tell. I cannot ask questions. One last question. Who is this who dares stand beside us now?
You must mean me. My name is Lynn Belfair. But from this day forward, you may now call me the One Who Knows.
Gotta say goodbye for the summer. Darling, I promise you this. I'll send you all my love every day in a letter sealed with a kiss. Yes, it's gonna be a cold, lonely summer, but I'll feel the emptiness. I'll send say goodbye for the summer, knowing the love we'll miss. Oh, let us make a pledge to meet in September and seal it with a kiss. But I'll fill the emptiness. I'll send you all my dreams every day in a letter sealed with a kiss.
Before we part, dear friends, I'd like to give the spotlight to our resident poet, Dr. David Linton.
Memory Lane. Why do some things vanish, and why are some impossible to banish? Deep thinkers have pondered these questions and come up with some solid suggestions. Freud believed that early trauma, suppressed, can lead to inner drama. Fears and scars from haunting troubles can sometimes burst like floating bubbles. Pavlov trained dogs to respond to a bell. It became more important than their strong sense of smell. He could even make a bulldog salivate by messing with its ability to calibrate. And Marcel Proust got it just right. The faintest taste, the smallest bite, can trigger the very deepest feeling, can call up thoughts that send us reeling. Some stuff you keep, some stuff you throw away. Some memories you savor, somehow they have found favor. There's food you eat until you're sated, other dishes you find are overrated. A dress you thought you'd never tire of became a rag, another cast off. The vacation spot that lured you every season became a bore, there was no special reason. Even that prom night. You both looked so pretty, the ride in the limo to carouse in the city is now coated in fondness for days of your teens, a bath of nostalgia and lingering dreams. And what of former lovers, whose touch could make you scream? They too show up from time to time in vague and misty dreams. Was it a game? Did it taste sweet? What did you do? When did you meet? Was it at a club or a local bar? At first it seemed you wouldn't go far. Then the look you exchanged said, "Your place or mine." Surely shacking up for a night wasn't much of a crime. Now many years later, though you're feeling no shame, you'd think that at least you'd remember their name. Is the brain like a disk or a cranial flash drive? A place where we file stuff to keep it alive? Is there a brain cell that's labeled delete that orders your past so that it's neat and discreet? And are there others marked copy and save that reorder your past and how you behaved? But let's close with a question and an order too. When grappling with memories that may be false or true, just ask yourself, remember this? Or demand instead, remember this?
And that concludes our tour of Sunken Harbor, for now. Our stellar cast featured in this episode includes James Reeser as Mr. Sheldon, Casey LaForest as Rabbi Rachel Berman, David Linton as Derek Hobney, James Scully as Tommy Nocelli, Alan LaForest as Simon Perdido, Mary Murphy as Annie. We heard Gustavo Rodriguez as The One Who Tells and Michael Pate as The One Who Asks. And the roles of Sissy and Mayor Diana Belfair were played by me, Ali Silva. The song, Sealed with a Kiss, written by Peter Udell and Gary Geld, was performed by Caitlin McKechnie, accompanied by Laura Cohen. And the poem you heard, Memory Lane, was written and performed by David Linton. Sunken Harbor, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, was written by Sylvan Sandovar and directed by Holly Payne Strange. Our live show and podcast are produced by Gustavo Rodriguez and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. The musical score is improvised and performed by Laura Cohen. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Technical director at The Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. Our production assistant is Brontis Shane Orengo. Jason Graves composed our theme music, and I manage our audio post-production. Sunken Harbor lovers, did you know, in addition to the four episodes that make up Sunken Harbor, K-I-S-S-I-N-G, we also have in store a fifth mini-episode that sheds even more light on the mystery afoot. It's called Cistern Sissy's Special Saponaria. This bonus content that we call the Patreon Playlet will soon be released exclusively for our Patreon patrons. If you are a Patreon patron at the $5 or more per month sustainer level, you will soon get access to this Sunken Harbor Extra, as well as playlets from our recent Nellie Bly and All Night Radio shows. For as little as a dollar or two or more a month, you can provide vital support for what we do. We've cooked up some other special perks for all different monthly sustainer levels. Check them out and become an FMT Patreon patron today by going to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater or follow the link from our website. As ever, my dear friends, we are grateful for any support you give to help us keep the embers of our fireside flickering. One more thing for you Sunken Harbor fans. Believe it or not, you can score special Sunken Harbor merchandise by visiting firesidemysterytheater.com/merch. Sport your very own Cobra Kleinman's All-American Dojo tank top or a Sunken Harbor Sheriff Department t-shirt. There are mugs, tote bags, stickers, and more, so check it out. Featured in this episode of Sunken Harbor is our good friend, actor, and fellow podcaster, James Scully. We are loving his foray into our weird world of Fireside and want to spread the love by pointing you in the direction of his very own podcast brainchild. Breaking Walls is a fascinating audio documentary of deep dives into the history of American radio drama. It focuses on the people, places, moments, and events that define the golden age of radio, all of which we here at FMT continue to draw enduring inspiration. We highly recommend that you check it out. All shows are available at thewallbreakers.com and everywhere else you listen to podcasts. All right now, just because you're finally safe at home doesn't mean you mustn't still mind the shadows. Till next time, my friends.